Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together first to celebrate the great work of redemption that Christ did for us all over the world today, and in people's calendars, they mark the day Christ gave his life for us. We thank you. For us, we know we celebrate that every day, because without the work of redemption, we could not have been brought into the family of God. So, Lord, we thank you for what you did. Not only did you go to the cross, but more importantly, that you rose again. As it is written, it was given up for our offenses, and it was raised again for our justification. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We give you praise and glory. We also thank you, Lord, that among many things that you purchased for us, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes, we were healed. So, Lord, for all these things that the scripture declared that you purchased for us, and you yourself saying on the cross, it is finished, we enter in and claim these promises for ourselves today. Praise the Lord. So we thank you, Lord. And we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be. Even on today, the entrance of your word against every form of darkness in the people's lives. And glory and honor unto your name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to thank the Lord for the inspiration to do this healing room. You know, at first, it was in my mind a conversation between the Lord, Holy Spirit, and myself. And I was thinking, well, you know, I'll just do it, you know. And I'll say, yeah. So, you know, I thought I would do it for Saturday, you know, because that will be the day that we'll have more time. And the more I thought about it, prepared my heart towards it, you know, I realized, well, why one when you can have two? And why two when you can have three? So here we are. Praise the Lord. So, being that it is the season of joy for the believers, it should not be a season of sorrow and so forth. You know, someone on my job yesterday, because they know who I am and stuff, you know, talked to me about, a Good Friday. And I said, yeah, happy Good Friday to you. He said, well, it's a solemn Friday. I said, yeah, but it's a happy Friday. You know, I'm not sorrowing. Christ is not on the cross anymore. He's not in the grave. You know, he's resurrected triumphantly. And it's a work that he did that's making us rejoice in the victory that he purchased for us. And so, you know, we're not going about this day morose and sad and so forth. People putting ashes on their head, you know, Catholic religion, I don't know what they do and all of that. But, you know, we are celebrating. Ha! Glory to God. You know, because it is because of what he did. That's why we have the boldness. In fact, that's why we have the boldness to do this healing room. Because of what he did. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, I want you to rejoice, you know, but I want you to take in the word of the Lord that we will declare, you know, and pay attention. We're going to pray, do corporate prayer for one another, but more importantly, we're going to receive our healing. That's right. And it's not just prayer this week, this weekend rather. It's receiving healing. I'm going to take my time and explain that and how you can also hold the healing. It's so important, you know, because sometimes the Lord will heal us, and even he has already healed us. But how do we obtain that healing? And how do we hold that healing? You know, sometimes you have to contend for it. And sometimes you just have to use the word of God. And so on and so forth. We're going to talk about that today and tomorrow and the next day. You know, and hear what the Lord is saying. Praise the Lord. Now, I thank everybody for being here. Praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us. I pray that it'll be well with everybody as you leave in these rooms today, tomorrow, and the next. Let me set the stage for what we're going to be doing in this room for the next day and the day after. There is a story in Luke chapter 5. We see that in verse 17 it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day," such as this, "as he was teaching." So we see that it was the word that he was focused on. But at the same time, you know, there were people that came in, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. So as we are teaching this word today, I want you to realize that the power of the Lord is present to heal. But first, we must teach the word. Because, you know, this scripture says Jesus was teaching. That's what he was doing. He was teaching, but accompanying that teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's what we want to focus on today. We're going to talk about the word of God that relates to our healing, you know, because that's how you can get your healing. And we're also going to show how you can hold that healing. Praise the Lord. Over the next few days, well, let me make this declaration. Just like Christ declared this declaration in Luke chapter 13, I want to make this declaration to the devil, so let him hear it. In verse 32, Jesus said, "Go and tell that fox." Well, I mean, let me declare it this way as well. Well, you can declare it on the mountaintops. You can tell that devil, that old devil. You know, he said, "I cast out devils and do miracles today, tomorrow, and on the third day, perfection comes." So for these 3 days, well, let's declare it to the devil. You know, that today, the Lord says, well, I'm doing healings. I'm casting out devils, both today, tomorrow, and on the third day. So we have a basis for this 3-day event that we are believing God for right here. I'm standing on this word that this day we're going to see cures and miracles. That's right. Tomorrow as well, casting out of devils and things. And by the time we leave on the third day, it is done. So we invite you to, come on into every one of these days, these next 3 services here. And bring your families and be sure that they are everyone that leads. And there's some people that I will be calling out their names because it's been on the mind of the Lord and on my mind as well. And, just wondering what the Lord is going to do And so the Lord called it forth, you know. And the scripture says, you know, inasmuch as Christ laid down his life for us, well, we ought also to lay down our life for the brethren. So what does that mean? That means we stand in a gap. That means we give up certain things. Praise the Lord. You know, hereby perceive we the love of God, 1 John 3:16, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also lay down our lives for the brethren. And that's what we are doing here this weekend. So, you know, let's stay tuned and hear the word of the Lord. Now, I want us to remember the promises of the Lord concerning healing. The book of Isaiah chapter 53. Don't say I know this scripture. Just listen. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 prophesied the things that Christ would do for us. The healing and all that he would bear on his body for us. Well, and when Jesus came, we began to see certain things that he did. And the scripture would refer back to this very thing that was already prophesied of him that he would do. And he would do certain things like heal the people, and the scripture would refer back to it. For instance, in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, there was a certain day in the evening, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, I want you to notice that. That it might be fulfilled. The reason he did it, that was so it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. In Isaiah, what we now know as chapter 53, all these things, saying he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And so these things Jesus did. Not only that, we read places where Jesus went throughout different places. We're told that Jesus went about all Galilee, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. I mean, you see that teaching always accompanies, you know, this thing. I mean, or precedes. He would teach the word, you know, and then, you know, the healing would accompany. He always went about teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. You know, he did that. And they brought to him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those that were even lunatic, those that had a palsy, you know, paralysis, or whatever. And, you know, I mean, if it was today, we'll be talking about those that have cancers, you know, and so forth. Those that have suffered stroke, those that have diabetes, those that have high blood sugar, high blood pressure, low blood pressure. I mean, all manner of sicknesses, different kinds of carcinomas, whether it's primary liver carcinoma, whether it's lymphoma, blood diseases, leukemia of every kind. I mean, we'll be talking about those things today. They would have all names for them. You know, these were the ones that they were named back in the day, It looks like sicknesses and diseases have multiplied, you know, different kinds, even since the time of Jesus. But it wouldn't matter any differently, because the Bible said he healed them then, all of them. And so he would heal them all the same way even today. And not only did Jesus do all these healings and different things, you know, he went into different places. I'm just going to read to you all the places where Jesus did these things. And you'll remember that Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're going to just show some of the things he did again here, and then see that if he did them then, he's still doing it today. Matthew chapter 9, we read also in verse 35 that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, again, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So first, we have to teach this word. That's right. Talk about the things of the kingdom. And also healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I mean, there was never any sickness they brought to Jesus that he didn't heal. You know, not everybody was healed because not everybody came. But those that came, they were healed. Praise the Lord. There was never one that came and went away without being healed. There are many stories, you know, that in the scriptures, some people were desperate. Some people didn't even know the power of God could do it for them. You know, other people, I mean, helped their friends. They came in through the roof. I mean, you know all these stories. And when the Lord saw the different things that they did and saw the faith of the people, you know, so sometimes what the Lord was doing was actually healing somebody because of someone else's faith. So I want to point that out also today and read it. I call it vicarious faith. When you're standing in the gap, believing for someone else, the person may not even have the strength, you know, to cry out for themselves or believe. But you can stand in the gap. In this chapter where we kicked off with, in Luke chapter 5, where we read that the power of the Lord was present to heal. Right after that, we read a story where he said, and they brought men in a bed that was taken with a palsy, you know, and sought to bring means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find any way by which they might bring him in because of the multitude, you know, he was in a house. There were so many people jammed into that house. And then some of these people, they brought their friends. You know, in another place, we find out there was four of them that brought this man on a stretcher, so to speak. And they couldn't get to him. They could not get through the crowd. They were trying to say, make way. Nobody would make way. Everybody wanted to be the one to be healed first. And so they thought within themselves, what are we going to do? And they, you know, they damned the consequences. Today they're going to destroy somebody else's house just to get this healing. They were desperate. And they went up upon the housetop. This was in their house. They let him down through the tiling. I mean, they had to tear the roof up, bring him down, you know, and lay him in the midst before Jesus. But look at the next statement after that in verse 20. And when Jesus saw their faith, it wasn't necessarily the faith of the man that was on the bed might have been unconscious, you know, but he saw their faith. The faith of the people that brought this man in and went through such lengths to get him in front of Jesus. Now, we've invited people to this room today. And I said to some people personally, make sure that this person that you care about is in the room today. maybe tomorrow, maybe even the next day. And make sure they are here, you know, and it's your faith that's going to work for them. So we see that we can have faith for someone else. Praise the Lord. A person can have faith for themselves too, if they are able. But even if they're not able, in this case, the man that was on this stretcher was not the one whose faith Jesus saw, but he saw the daring faith of these friends that would go through such lengths to get him to stand before Christ. And you know the rest of the story. The man went home. Take up that couch, Jesus finally said. The man went home healed. There are other stories where people did not even know that Jesus could heal them. I mean, they were looking at different things. I mean, this wonderful story here in the book of John chapter 5. I love this story. And I always, anytime we do healing rallies, would always refer to this story because it illustrates so many things. Because of the mercy of God, the Lord would send an angel at different, you know, a time. That was a season, a time. It was a seasonal thing. Maybe once a year, I don't know. And, you know, the angel would come and stir this pool. And whosoever first got in after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had. And that was this man. You know the story. It was this man who came time and time again. But, you know, there were many people like him, impotent folk like him, you know, some of them, you know. Everybody struggling to get in, but only one person was healed. The first, many people got in the water, but only the one person, the first, was healed. Many of them went home disappointed. And they'll come back in the next season. And so this man was also there who had been in this condition for 38 years. We don't know how many of those 38 years he came, but he kept coming. Because when Jesus saw him, you know, and remember, there were many people there that day, many impotent folk in John chapter 5. Not all of them were healed by Jesus. One person was healed by the angel, perhaps. And another man was healed by Jesus. A lot of other people there. So, but this particular story that I want to highlight here, this man that was to be healed by Jesus that day, he wasn't really knowledgeable about Christ. He was there looking for solution in another direction. They knew the angel would come. They didn't know what day it was, but they knew the season, you know, around that time. They calculated it. So everybody will camp out. You can't get into the water too quickly. If you do, you're not going to be healed anyway. You got to wait, and the time would just, your time had, when you see that moving and see that thing staring in the water right there, you got to be the first. And everybody's struggling, but, you know, whoever was the first, that's it. And everybody else went home disappointed. So Jesus says to this man, "Will thou be made whole?" And I've often wondered, just like the man wondered, what kind of question is that? The man was thinking in his head, what kind of question is that? We are all here waiting to be healed. I mean, it's kind of like you walk into the hospital, people laying around on the sick bed and everything, you know, and you walk in and say to someone, "Will thou be made whole?" I mean, and they'll be thinking, what kind of question is that? Of course I would be made whole. That's why I'm here. But that's not what Jesus was asking. Jesus was asking a different question. You know, the intent of Jesus was that, look, you know, do you really want to be healed today? Or did you come for a chance to be healed? You know, so this man came there for a chance to be healed. It was a chance. And so listen to this story, because you know the story, but you may hear something different today. This man came for a chance to be healed. But Jesus said, no. Do you want to be made whole today? You know, now, I say to the people who are here today, and when I announced this room the other day, I said, don't come for prayer during this time. We'll pray, but don't come for prayer. You know, that was a time I went to one place to go and preach a crusade. and they were announcing, you know, say, you know, prayer, you know, Pastor Yado is here, pray for the sick. So I got up when I got to the stage and I said, no, I'm not here to pray for the sick. And everybody looked at me different, you know, kind of weird. What do you mean you're not here to pray for the sick? I said, no, I'm not here to pray for the sick. I mean, people have been praying for you all this time. How many prayer meetings have you gone to? You know, I said, how many of you ever been to, you know, prayer for whatever reason you are here today? And so people raise their hand. I said, okay, so I'm not here to pray for you. This is not another prayer meeting. You come, you be prayed for, you go away. Then you come again next time some another evangelist comes to town or somebody. You come again. I said, I'm not falling into that cycle today. So the place was quiet. I said, well, yeah. Today, if you are here to be healed, let me see your hand, you know, rather than you came for prayer. So I'm going to say the same thing here today. You could have come for a chance to be healed, which means you came for prayer. Well, maybe, you know, maybe, you know, somebody will pray. Maybe somebody anointed will pray for you. Maybe something will strike a chord in your heart. Maybe you'll be healed. Well, there's a lot of maybes that could be out there. But again, so Jesus was trying to say to this man, do you want to be made healed? Or are you here for a chance to be healed? This man's chance of being healed was one out of, I don't know, the great number of people that were there. And his chances were very poor, because somebody always stepped in ahead of him, was what he said. So, you know, he didn't stand a lot of chance. He was there nonetheless. He didn't give up. He kept coming, which was a good thing. But on this particular day, Jesus says to the man, because the man telling Jesus, look, here's the deal. We're waiting for this angel. And when he's there, so the man is bringing Jesus up to speed on what's happening here. And so, yeah, you know, when this angel comes, there's a pool. Yeah, as if Jesus didn't know. Stay at the pool and so forth, you know, and the, you know, whoever is the first to get in, and somebody always getting ahead of me, he said. And Jesus said to the man, look, today, forget about the angel. Jesus is the one that sent the angel anyway. But he say, look, today, forget about the angel. Forget about the pool. Forget about the water. Forget about the number of times you come and somebody got in ahead of you, which is the same as how many times you've been prayed for. You know, that it didn't work. Every time you've come for a chance to be healed, that it didn't work. You know, today I'm right here, Jesus said. Ha, glory to God. You know, and so the man, you know, fastened his eyes on Jesus, didn't know, you know, I mean, what manner of speech is this? And Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. That's it. And immediately, I love that word. And there's some words I love in the Bible. One of them is nevertheless. Another one is immediately. I love this immediately word. Immediately. See, his bones and everything, you know, at the word of the master. Glory to God. Now, I believe, actually, I know that the power of God is also present here to heal today. Now, let's believe God together that immediately, glory to God, and you hear the word of God, yeah, something will happen. And something may be happening in your body already. If you're listening in, you know, because the word of God is powerful. You know, it's not the preacher that does the healing. It's not even the one that lays their hands. You know, sometimes they are there for, you know, to give people encouragement. But it's really the Lord that can do it. And it's his word. According to Psalm 107, and verse 20, it says, the Lord sent his word and he healed them and delivered them out of their destructions. From their destructions. This was the song we read, I mean, listened to at the beginning. And the Lord that healed thee, I sent my word and healed you. The Lord sent his word. And so we will be sending the word of the Lord to you today or to anybody. You know, send means, well, you know, it's not right there. You know, because in those days, the people didn't recognize that the Lord could be right there with them. You know, they were estranged. God was trying to bring them in, brought them out of Egypt, trying to show himself to them. And so, well, let me send his word. Today, well, the word of the Lord is actually with us. Praise God. But see, I'm here sitting in my chair and you are wherever you are. Oh, well, let's enact this same thing and send the word of God to you, you know, for healing and for deliverance. Now, it is important for us to teach the word in a healing service such as this, because that's what Jesus did. He taught in the synagogues, and then power of the Lord was present to heal. And even the disciples were told that they went everywhere and preached this gospel after Jesus told them to do it. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Listen to this. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere. That's right. First, you got to preach that word. You know. And the Lord was walking with them, confirming the word. The signs following. So the signs follow the word. Not the signs don't go ahead of the word. That's not possible. And so first we teach the word, then the signs follow. But I want you to, as you're listening to this, let's have a paradigm shift in our minds. You're not here today for a chance to be healed. You're not here today for prayer, for healing. You're here today for your healing. There's a difference. So, in fact, that one place where I was where this thing happened, the pastor asked me, so what are you talking about? And I said, well, the local pastor that organized the event. And I said, well, and I explained it. And then they said, oh, I said, yeah, because, you know, you can come for prayer and you get prayer. You can also come for healing and you get healing. The Lord openeth his hand and satisfied the desire of every living thing. If your desire is prayer, you'll get prayer today. Now, if your desire is healing, you will also get healing today. Yeah, it's in his hands. The desire of every living thing will come and take yours. Now, if you say, well, if God heals me, fine. And if not, fine. Well, then, well, you know, you may get your wish. You know, but sometimes when people are desperate, there's a story of a woman that was desperate. I mean, she had actually gone, you know, to doctors, we're told. She spent her living on doctors. She's gone everywhere. You know, this story is in many places in the Bible. One of them is in Matthew chapter 9. It's also in Mark chapter 5. It's also in Luke chapter 8. You know, this woman, which we all know her story, is, you know, called the woman with the issue of blood that had 12 years been in that condition. The man that Jesus healed had been there 38 years. We don't know how long your condition has been. This woman's condition has been 12 years. But she was desperate because she come to a point, Bible says she had spent all her living on doctors, but nothing got any better. She'd gone from one specialist to another, one treatment to another, but nothing, this situation did not improve. Even got worse, the story says. So one day, by revelation and the inspiration of the Almighty, see, it occurred to her that, look, Next time I hear Jesus passing by this way, if I can just, you see, this was the revelation she had. She could have believed, you know, that, you know, if Jesus just looked at her, she would be healed. She could have believed that. But the revelation she had was, oh, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Yeah, revelation comes in many ways. You know, one man said to Jesus at one time, look, all you have to do is speak the word. That was the revelation he had. He had the revelation that if Jesus just spoke the word. Another one said, come. If you come, you'll be healed. Okay, fine. I mean, Jesus went. If you say, speak the word, he said, fine, I'll speak the word. You say, come and lay hands, Jesus will come. And he will just, whatever, you know, you believe for him, he will do for you. And so this woman, she believed that, look, if I can just manage, but she was desperate, touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And so she began to push, make her way through the crowd. It was a difficult thing to do, you know, and she got close enough to reach down through the crowd at the bottom of everybody, touch the bottom of his garment close to his ankles. So that's the revelation she had. Well, and as soon as she did, Jesus stopped and turned around and said, who touched me? Now, just imagine what the disciples thought. In fact, you know, they challenged the Lord. What do you mean, who touched you? Look at all this crowd. Jostling, thronging, pushing, shoving you. And Jesus, I'm not talking about that. Somebody touched me. Glory to God. So you may be here today, and you may be that somebody that's touching you. But how desperate was this woman? Because she had tried everything. Everything. But it wasn't working. She even got worse, the story says. So you can read the story on yourself, but I'm sure many of us who are here know the story. Matthew 9, Mark 5, Luke 8. It's all in there. But when Jesus looked at her and the woman, she was trying to hide, and she saw that what she did had been discovered, she showed herself. So it was I, Lord. And she was trembling. She fell at his feet. And the master said, fear not. Your faith has made you whole. See, it is your faith that makes you whole. That's right. You know, her faith was translated into her action, the desperation. That was her revelation. Well, your revelation may be whatever the Lord gave you. You know, if you said in your heart, you know, I'm coming into this room today, and if he would just call my name, I'll be here. Maybe I'll call your name. I don't know. I mean, you could just say, you know, I'm coming to the room today. If I just hear this word from the Lord, you know, whatever. I mean, the Lord, he knows all these things, and he would do it for you. But it's your faith that's going to make you whole. The prayer is great, but it's your faith in that prayer that makes you whole. And sometimes you have to also, I'm telling you these stories because first we have to preach the word of God. Sometimes, you know, you also have to argue, you know, and, you know, the Lord said himself, declare, let us debate this thing, you know, declare it, you know, that you might be justified. Come and let us reason together. Sometimes you might have to reason. You know, like the story of the so-called Greek or Syro-Phoenician woman, you know, that the Lord said to her, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to dogs. The story is in a few places too. There's one good one in Matthew 15. And she argued her case. You know, the case that she argued was because Jesus said, well, I'm not called or sent but for to the lost of sheep of the house of Israel. And this woman was a Greek. She had no right to call Jesus the son of David. You can't say, son of David, have mercy on my... You have no right. You know, Jesus was not son of David to them, to the Greeks. And said, well, I can't take what is belong to the children and give it to dogs. See, but this woman found a loophole. That's right. A loophole in what Jesus said. So, you know, and Jesus knew it. These stories are in the Bible for our lessons, for examples in faith. This woman latched on to something that Jesus said and used it for her own advantage, to her own advantage. Jesus said, look, this belongs to children. I can't give it to dogs. And the woman said, yeah, you're right, Lord. She didn't argue. But she said, look, when the children are eating the bread that belongs to the children only, the crumbs that fall from the table to the ground or the floor belong to the dog. And Jesus said, my goodness. Woo-hoo! You know, so sometimes you got to argue your case. Yeah. Argue it. You know, and whatever the case may be now, I know that that woman who did not have the right initially at one time, she didn't. But when Jesus hung up on the cross, you know, he broke the veil. The veil broke the, you know, separation, the division, Greek, Jews, this and that, you know, all came together in Christ. And there's no more division. You know, when he was on the cross, think of it. He had his arms stretched as wide out as possible, both to the Greeks on one side and then to the Jews on the other. And he broke down the wall of partition and brought everybody together. So there's no more Greeks or Jews, you know, Gentile or Jew, no more. You know, there is even people of other faiths that don't believe in Jesus. You can be healed too. You may be in this room, you may be a Muslim. You may be whatever the faith that you follow, or religion, I should say. You know, if you can only believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you can be healed too. Now, I want to let people of such background know that there is no other name. I'm not endorsing, you know, any other name. I'm just saying that Jesus will receive you too. According to the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, Jesus Christ is called the stone which the builders rejected. He has become the head of the corner. And verse 12 says, there is salvation in no other. You can't find it. I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody's religion, but I guarantee you, there's only one way. No man, Jesus says, can come unto me or the Father except by me. You can't do it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody else can say that they were buried and they came out of that grave. No religion has that to offer. So, why follow religion that is vain, that gave you nothing, you know? Come unto Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus, by faith in his name, is what we are preaching in this room. There's no magic wand that I'm going to wave for anybody's healing. Today's healing room, tomorrow and the next, is all about the name of Jesus. There was a story in the book of Acts, chapter 3. After Christ had left and gave the disciples certain charge, and later on, before I declare certain things in this room, I'll tell you the charge that he gave the disciples. But let's look at this story. And Peter and John, you know, went up at the hour of prayer to the temple. They were in Jerusalem. The temple was there. You know, there was a man, a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb. So this man, from the time that he was born, a baby, he was born a cripple, unfortunately. And when he grew up, they carried him, they laid him at the temple of the gate. That temple is called Beautiful. And he has arms of them that entered the temple. So everybody that would go. And it was a great strategic place to him to be. You know, people who are going into the temple, they're religious folks, right? You know, they're thinking of doing good things. You know, maybe thinking of giving alms. You know I mean, or, you know, thinking of doing something. So, you know, it was in a strategic place. As people went in, he would say, hey, you know, Can I have something? And they'd look at him, they'd give him something. And so that's how he survived. He made a little living by asking alms for the people that went in and out of that temple. Especially before they went in. Because they might give all their offering in the temple. So he was positioned right there. So anyway, when he saw Peter and John, he also, said to them, can I have something, please? Just like he said to everybody. And here's the story. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon the man with John, said, look on us. So the man looked on him, you know, expecting that they were going to give him something. Now, Peter was not someone that was rich in money, so to speak. He actually gave up his trade. He was a great fisherman. Many of them did. And, so he said, well, I don't have money. Silver and gold, I have none. But such as I have, I give unto you. And listen to the confidence of Peter in how he said this thing. I know you would like me to give you some money. And, if I had it, I would give you, but I don't. But I'm going to give you what I have. Praise God. That's a beautiful story. And he said, well, here's what I have. And he said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He wasn't praying. He said it. It wasn't a prayer. He just declared it. And, he took the man by the hand and lifted him up. He didn't even give the man a chance to say, what do you mean rise up and walk? He just took the man by the hand, and raised him up. And immediately, that's that word again, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Not because of the man's faith, but because of Peter's faith. That's right. This man didn't know anything about being healed. All he wanted was a little money that day. But Peter showed that, look, your faith can heal the sick, even when the sick did not even know that they could be healed. And this man, so long story short, after the man was healed, running around, walking and leaping and praising God and jumping up and down and everything. Later on, the people got together because they all knew this man. He's been there for years. And everybody gave him arm as they went into the temple. So finally, they said, my goodness, these people are great that healed this man. So Peter made it clear to them, he used that opportunity to preach Christ to them. And he said, look, don't think that we, by ourselves or by our power, we have made this man whole. No. He said, the name of Jesus, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here, before you made whole. Hallelujah. This is the stone which was rejected of you builders, but God hath made him to be head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. And God has given us no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So they began to talk among themselves. And Peter said, look, don't think that, we did any of this. But faith in Christ, his name and faith through his name has given this man this perfect soundness, that you see today. So I want to let you know that the healing that you will receive, that we preach today, is in the name of Christ. There is no other way. And I don't have any power or magic wand or anything to wave, other than the name of Jesus. Now, some of you don't need convincing that it's the name of Jesus because you brought up in the faith. You already know this stuff. But I say it for the benefit of those who may not know, or those who may be listening in that don't know, that it is the name of Jesus that we are using here. Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, look, don't you think in your head that we did anything by ourselves. We didn't. I want to make that clear. The name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, they said, whom you see and you know him. He's been here many years. Yes, the faith that is in him has given him this, the faith of Christ has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, that's it. Now, what is the charge that Jesus gave to his disciples? Well, let's read it. If I be a disciple, well, then, you know, I receive the same charge. And you also, if you be a disciple, well, let's see what charge Jesus gave us. Here is the charge that Jesus gave. I'm going to read it out of a couple of places in the Bible. And this is important to lay this foundation, you know. When Jesus sent out, you know, his disciples, he began to tell them certain things, what to do, and how he gave them charge. And the Bible says he called his disciples unto him. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. Now, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Now, let me emphasize that. Jesus is the one that gives the power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jesus gave them that power. I'm going to let you see something interesting that Jesus said when he gave them that power. You know, so he sent them forth. Let's jump to verse 6 here, or verse 5. And he sent them forth and commanded them and said, well, this time around, don't go into the Gentiles. Don't go into the Samaritans. Just go first to the house of Israel. That's number one. And as you go, see, first, you got to preach. That's the thing. You can't just be healing the sick. First, you got to preach. Preach, saying, kingdom of heaven is at hand. You're showing them, you know, the things that the kingdom of heaven can offer. And then you demonstrate it. Let's listen to what Jesus said. Be careful now and listen to this. He says, heal the sick. Now remember, he's already giving them the power. Jesus has the power to give. The devil has his own power to give too. At one time, the devil said to Jesus in Luke chapter 4, all these things are in my hand, and I have power to give it to whomsoever I will. So the devil has his own power, and Jesus has his own power. Some people seek the power of the devil. They sell their soul to get power. Fine, that's the devil. But here is the power that Jesus gives. He gave them power over unclean spirits, cast them out, and over all manner of sickness and all disease. And then when he did, he told them, when you go, preach. And along with your preaching, heal the sick. He didn't necessarily say pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely give. Don't charge any money when you do it. That's something people forget. Don't charge any money for healing. Do it freely. Hallelujah. You gave it, you receive it. You didn't earn it. I gave it to you, the power. So go do it. So, in recognition of the power that Jesus gave, hallelujah, gave us power to preach the gospel, commissioned us to do it. Well, I'm preaching the gospel here today. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God brings healing to people. And Jesus said, well, when you do it, demonstrate it. Heal the sick. You know, cleanse the lepers. Now, cleanse the lepers could be, leprosy was, you know, rampant in those days. Today it might be cancer. Heal cancer. Heal leukemia. Heal lymphoma. Heal all kinds of carcinomas. Heal high blood pressure. Heal low blood pressure. Heal diabetes. Heal stroke. Heal this. Whatever it is.
all manner of sickness and disease.
Hallelujah. And then, you know, and then they went out and did it. Praise God. And they came back and told Jesus, we did it. Hallelujah. Well, that's how Matthew reported it. Well, let's see how Luke reported it. I mean, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all reported it. Let me just read two of these because of time. In Luke chapter 10, you know, Jesus, again, he sent out his disciples. And he said, look, wherever you go, you know, just do these things. You know, teach them. Say, the kingdom of God is nigh unto them, and so forth. And then he said here, he said, look, behold, I give you power. Now, this is Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, did he say, I give you power over some of the power of the enemy? Did he say, I give you power over some sickness and some disease? No. Give them power over all manner of sicknesses. All. Those that were named and those that were not named. Today, all manner of sicknesses. You know, cancer is a deadly disease. You know, we get today these deadly reports of cancer. You know, and it's a word that we don't even like to mention, but it's there. And it's such that it can even start somewhere and it can spread. And it's such that, you know, people don't have an answer for it. Medical science, they try and they do a great job. But sometimes they don't have an answer. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. But God always has an answer. And here is the answer. I give you power. Cast these things out. Heal all manner of sicknesses and diseases. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tread on serpents and scorpions even. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Raise the dead even if needed. Praise God. Now this is the charge that Jesus gave. And he gave it to his disciples. And furthermore, just so you know that it's not just apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the so-called fivefolders. It's not just them that have that power. Jesus called them first and the apostles and so forth. But later on, he told them this in Mark chapter 16. So it's not just, you know, for people who say, oh, this is an anointed man of God. Well, maybe. But, you know, here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16. And verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, first you have to preach the gospel before you start to heal anybody. You know, he that believeth, the people that you preach to, when they themselves believe, right? The signs that follow them are such as he names here. Now, this is not just the apostles. It's not just, well, when you go and preach, these signs will follow you. You know, that's not what he said. They already knew that. But the ones that believe on your preaching, believe on me through what you preach, they themselves will have this power to do these things. And what are these? What is it that they will have? Well, this sign shall follow them that believe. Not just you that are preaching, but when you preach and they believe, they receive this same power. That in my name, they themselves, just like you, can now cast out devils. That's right. They themselves can speak with new tongues. Holy Ghost come in their life. You know, yeah, that's right. They take up serpents, you know, the poison, all these things won't even harm them. They shall lay their hands on the sick. Glory to God. And they shall recover. The sick shall recover. I mean, so Jesus conferred this power to not only his initial apostles that he called, but to all those that believe on him through their preaching. Hallelujah. So, I think I've explained this
enough. Praise God. Now, the hour has come. Like I said before, let me repeat the most critical part of today. Don't think in your mind that you are here for a chance to be healed. Well, if that's so, you already have the chance. But think within yourself that I am here for my healing. Hallelujah. More than just a chance to be healed. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Now let me declare this word of God to somebody here today. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Let me declare this word to you today. Now, we're going into the action part now. We've done the teaching part. We're going to the action part now of this room. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, which many people also know. But in case you didn't know it, or you didn't know this application of it that I'm going to speak today, hear it for yourself. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And it is powerful. Just think of that. You say the word of God is powerful. Well, consider all the things that the word of God did. For by the word of God, God called things into existence that even were not. All he said was, let there be. And there was. That's how powerful the word of God is. And again, he said, I sent my word. And it carries the power to heal the people. It is also sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah? Surgical instruments, they are great in the hands of the right persons. But the word of God is better. Now look at what the word of God does. It can go and divide between soul and spirit. I've explained what that means here several times. You use the word of God to separate your unbelieving, fearful, emotional soul. Separate that from the spirit. Let the spirit just believe the word. Don't care about, you know, your feelings or the circumstances. That's in the soul. Do have experience that nevertheless moment. Your soul may think of it this way. You may be afraid. You may be fearful in your soul. But yes, nevertheless, in your spirit, you latch onto the word of God. So this word of God separates between the soul and spirit. But look at another thing it does. It goes into the joints and the marrow. Did you know that the marrow is the factory, the bone marrow, the factory for blood and all these things? And, you know, so when you have disease, bone marrow disease, or when you have cancer that's spreading into the bones, in the marrows and so forth, well, let's bring the word of God. Glory to God. This is like a powerful flush. You have this flush system that can go in there and flush this out. The word of God can go into bones and marrows and joints. Well, in the marrow, what does it do? It recreates and cleanses, flush out the old, recreate the new. I will cleanse the blood, which hitherto was not cleansed. Now, we have scriptures for all these things so that your faith will not be based on the eloquence, you know, of man, or, you know, how well I can speak and so on. I want your faith to be based on the word of God. Joel chapter 3 verse 21 says, I will cleanse your blood. Hallelujah. So the word of God will go into your bones, create new bones, marrows for you in there. And inside that bone marrow begin to form new blood cells, destroy the cancerous cells that are spreading throughout your body. The word of God flush out those things and regenerate, create new genes. That's regenerate, making of new genes. Hallelujah. Turn the situation around. Glory to God. So, that's the word of God for you today. Now, in a moment, now that you have heard the word, as it was told to us in the beginning of this room, that Jesus was in a certain place teaching, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Well, we've been teaching the word, and now I want you to know that the power of the Lord is present to heal. So right now, I'm going to invite you to pray. Well, we'll pray for one another, helping one another to believe. Yeah, you know, so we'll do that. But at the end of the prayer, we're going to declare and you're going to receive your healing. I'm not exactly, I already did that. To pray that God will heal the people that are in this room. I've been doing it, putting my mind on this for days. And so God is set to do it because he has already done it. We just need to know how to receive it. Later on in this, before the end of this series, we'll show you how to keep that healing. But today, I want you to know how to receive it. Receive it by faith. Don't just receive prayer today. Receive your healing. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, I want us to pray. First, I am going to pray that the Lord will give you the grace to embrace this knowledge, this information that we have shared with you today, that the power of the Lord is present to heal, that Jesus did it before many times, healed them all, that the scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he done in the past, he'll do again today. That not only did he do it, he gave the power to his disciples to do it. Moreover, he said in John chapter 14 and verse 12 that, you know, he that believes on me, the works that I do, the same shall he also do. So, well, here we have it. We have evidence from the word of God that Jesus did it. We have evidence from the word of God that he conferred this power to people to do the same in his name. It's like a power of attorney. Give it to them. In my name, do these things. All right. And we have the evidence from the word of God that the spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God upon whom he has conferred this blessing. So therefore, we have the power over sickness and disease, just like he did. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to pray over the room now. Father, I pray for everyone that has patiently listened to the word of God. And in as much, O Lord, that we have exalted your word here today and your name, showing that it's by the name of Jesus and not by our own power that anyone can be healed. Therefore, O Lord, take the glory. Glorify thyself, O Lord, even like you did in times past. In the times when people called upon the name of the Lord, how you have done it from time to time to time. Even in the lives of these, your children that are here today, they have experienced healing. God, I healed you of this same thing 15 years ago. Now the devil brought his ugly head again. God has healed you of this same thing 7 years ago, or maybe even 20 years ago. Now the devil reared up his ugly head again. And again and again, the Lord will bruise his head under your feet. Every time. Praise the Lord. Now think not within yourself that this is an incurable disease just because the doctor said so. Well, they must say that because that's the limit of what they can do. But with God, there shall nothing be impossible. Also, with him that believes, there shall nothing be impossible. So today, by the power that's invested in me, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I declare that you receive your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, whether that peeling be for cancer of any kind, whether it be for stroke, whether it be for high blood pressure, diabetes, different kinds of, you know, carcinomas, you name it, leukemia, blood disease, lupus, you know, I mean, I don't know, whatever it is, the Bible says that God has highly exalted the name of Jesus Christ and giving him a name that is above every name. Now, whatever the name may be, the name of Jesus is higher. So if that sickness has a name, then the name of Jesus is higher. Praise God. Some people are even born with sickle cell anemia. And that's like a ticking time bomb. They say, well, you're gonna die before you reach certain age. Hear the word of the Lord today. His word can go into your bone marrow. You know, some people have stem cell problems and so on. Bone marrow disease, stem cell, this and that, you know, and so on and so forth. And they can't even leave. They got to go and receive infusions days and days. Some people have kidney disease, you know, they got to receive, you know, all these treatments and so forth. Some people are battling cancer, chemo and radiation and all of this. And we thank God for those things. In some cases, it actually brings a cure to people. But in many cases, it's not effective, especially when that situation is advanced and it wasn't discovered quick enough. But I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord to do. I am the God of all flesh, the Lord said. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Today, I've been talking about physical sicknesses, healing over physical sicknesses. Tomorrow and the next, we'll be talking about healing of every situation. Bitter waters, situations in your life, in your career, in your job, and different things. According to the words of Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how Jesus Christ of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So every kind of oppression from the devil can be healed, not just physical sickness alone. Bitter waters can be healed. Losses and various things that you lost can be healed and God can restore. And so we'll be doing that throughout this room. But today, physical healing. Now, I want you to receive your healing. And I want you to pray for your brother and your sister. I want you to pray for your husband. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your parent. Pray for your friend. If you know anyone and you invited anyone, they're listening with you on the phone. You're here and they're listening in the room with you. Because we invited people to bring their loved ones that have been attacked of these kinds of illnesses that we've called out. And as you are listening today, we're going to all pray in just a minute. I want you to pray and thank God for an opportunity to hear this. Jesus said, God has hidden these truths from many wise and prudent people and even kings, prophets and righteous men sometimes. Forget that these things are freely given unto us by God. So we're going to pray together for a minute. And then you're going to receive your healing. That's right. Praise God. So Father, I thank you for everybody that is here today that has heard the word of God directly now, or others that may listen to this replay later on. Thank you, Father. Let not, O Lord, I pray, the wisdom of science prevail against you. Hallelujah. Let not the arrogance of man also that I said, aha, aha, where is your God? Let it not prevail against the name of the Lord in the lives of your people. Rise up, O Lord, and take the renown. Let it be known that the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has given your people this healing that they now receive of you today. We declare it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Be healed of the cancer. Be healed of the stroke. In the name of Jesus, be healed of the diabetes. In the name of Jesus, be healed of sickle cell. Be healed of lymphoma, different carcinomas. Be healed of leukemia, lupus, and all manner of sickness and disease that may be named in here. Some people are even, they just become dizzy, woozy and different things. They just lose their balance. They don't know what it is. Be healed of that. Be healed of every sickness. Autism. Glory to God. I declare that you are healed. And people are healed. People in your family are healed today. In Jesus' name. We call upon the work of redemption that Jesus did upon the cross. He never argued with the devil. He knew he had a plan to pay the ransom. And he paid the ransom. And he said, "It is finished." Glory to God. Now the devil must give it up. By the way, Jesus also went and took the keys of hell and death from the devil and whooped the devil from pillar to post and set free all those who were all their lifetime in bondage of fear because of the darkness that the devil had brought upon people's lives. Behold the light of God shining today unto a more perfect day in your life. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, be thou glorified. And the Lord said, yeah, I've glorified it, even my name, and I will glorify it again. Glorify thy name, Lord, in the lives of your people. And let them, every one of them, be healed. Even as Jesus healed them all. And he gave his power to the disciples to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Let all manner of sickness and disease named in this room today be healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.